about a year later, was deployed to Afghanistan. And that's about 8 months into a 12-month rotation. It's when I got injured and I lost my eyesight. I came home and had to learn how to be a whole different person. Yeah. Be blind, a whole new world without sight. I was going to be medically retired. It was a very scary time.
Yeah.
It was a difficult transition. I never stopped fighting for what I thought was the best I could do in everything I did.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. What's up, my friends? Welcome to another episode of the Christoph Lewis Podcast, Create Your Career. This is episode 110, and I'm so excited, as always, that you're here for yet another episode. My episode today is with the great Aaron Hale. He's former Navy, former Army. He went blue to green, and this is his story. When he went green, he went EOD. When he went EOD, he went to the Middle East. Unfortunately, during one of his tours there, an IED, or an improvised explosive device, went off and he lost both his sight, and then years later he lost his hearing. Completely blind, completely deaf. This is Aaron's story, and this is one of the most unique, interesting, and absolutely funny episodes that I've ever had on here. It's serious and it's hilarious at the same time, because Aaron is one of the most charismatic and funny people that I've talked to on the podcast, and it's just in my life. And he has such a good attitude, and I could not wait to capture this for this podcast and share it with all of you and continue to share his story. So remember, you can find this episode, the contemplations are just me, and those are only on audio, and the conversations are with the guests on christophlewis.com/podcast or on your most favorite podcast listening app. And without further ado, I'd like you to introduce you to Mr. Aaron Hale. Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Well, thanks for the invite. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. I was so excited for this podcast. I've been looking forward to it since I spoke to you and your wonderful, very helpful wife, Michaela. And I've been really appreciative of the conversation between all of us. And I first saw you on my friend Beave Brody's podcast. Well, you weren't on the podcast yet. I haven't been able to listen to it yet, but I saw you on his Instagram and YouTube, and I was very excited to speak with you. And then once I heard of you that way, I started listening to other podcasts that you were on, and I was just very, very excited to get you on here. So I'm very appreciative of your time, and I think it's really great to speak with somebody else that has served, that's been in the Navy, and then of course you transitioned over to a different branch, and I'd love to talk into that, but I just want to say a big thank you, and honestly, for me, it is an honor to speak with you, so thank you.
Hey, I'm glad to be here, and thanks.
Yeah.
It's good to talk to a shipmate.
Right? I wanted to go right off the bat. I know you've talked about it a little bit, but can you share with us a little bit about who you are and what you've done and what are you doing right now?
Of course. I started off in the Navy, but how I got there was kind of odd, because my whole life growing up, my whole childhood and teenage years, young adulthood, I absolutely knew without a doubt that I'd never be in the military.
Wow.
Until about a month before I enlisted.
Wow.
It wasn't like I was opposed to it or against it. It just, I don't know. I didn't have much ambition for anything. I wanted to be rich and famous.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have all those things, but I didn't know what I wanted to do. It just, for some reason, the military never came to mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I dabbled in college, And again, when you don't have your passion, purpose, even a goal in mind, it's college is hard, and makes it all that much harder. So after about three semesters and gaining my freshman 50, it was kind of a mutual thing. University didn't really want me back, and I didn't really want to go back.
Sure.
But I've wasted all this tuition money, and I needed direction. I needed to figure out what to do with my life before I started wasting it, and I won't waste any more of it. So I moved out to California, where my dad lives. I got a couple jobs, and I started losing that weight and trying to sort things out.
Yeah,
and I decided, and it was a more of a me thing, a selfish thing, try to get my life in order, get my direction, get discipline and all those things. And I realized that it was the military that taught all of that.
Yeah.
I would get that in the military, and I would get money to go back to college. So yep. I finally decided I was going to contact a recruiter, and I was going to become a chef or a culinary specialist in the Navy.
Very cool.
So I joined the Navy, became a cook.
Wow.
And got stationed in Naples, Italy.
Yeah.
Worked my way up to the commander of the 6th Fleet in Gaeta, Italy, which is only about a 45-minute commute away from my original duty station. And I spent 4 years in Italy learning the customs and cultures and cuisine and just immersing myself in Italy and Europe in general. And it was fantastic. So it wasn't a hell of a hardship duty.
It really was. It's something to be, I just wanted to interject real quick. It's something that you're in Italy as a culinary specialist. I think that's a very unique place to be able to grow as that kind of that rate or that job.
It really was because it was funny when I was cooking for the Admiral, he forbade us from making Italian food in this galley.
That's hilarious.
We lived there, and he didn't want his American cooks making Italian, but I was so proud of the progress I was making, what I learned. Like, come on, I can do it, really.
Yeah.
But frankly, he was really more of a burger and fries guy.
Yep.
So
yep.
I made the best damn burger and fries. Seriously, we were able to flex our culinary muscles and really experiment the flagships don't do those 6-month cruises like the carrier groups.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the USS LaSalle, and we would go out for 3 or 4 weeks and hit 2 or 3 ports for a few days each, all around the Mediterranean. Run up the flag, throw a reception, glad hand the local dignitaries, and of course go do a little liberty call and see the town. It was great, In 2004, both wars were in full swing. I realized that I wanted to do something a little more direct. In my, the first 4 years, I enlisted in 1999, and those first 4 years, I really grew as an adult, as a person, as a service member, and it stopped being just about me and my personal development. Though I began to realize that the more I can grow and develop, and the better off I was. But then I was becoming a leader. I was becoming a teacher and a mentor myself. And then when both wars were going on, and I saw what was happening out in the desert, I decided that I wanted to do something a little more direct. I wanted to kind of jump in the fray and do something a little bit more than living up the good life in Italy. And as much as I would miss it, I volunteered to become an individual augmentee, which is like the Army using the Navy and the Air Force personnel kind of piecemeal to fill in much needed roles out on the battlefield. Yeah. And I went from cooking from, you know, for 25 to 35 of the Admiral's top staff to cooking for 500 to 700 ISAF Native troops in Afghanistan.
Wow.
It was incredible. It was rewarding. Yeah. And even though where we were was a dead zone. Yeah, not even the Taliban wanted it. It was way out.
Oh, wow.
Southwest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was peaceful and quiet out there. And that was fine. And the funny thing was there were a couple platoons of Italian special forces troops right on my base. So I got to speak Italian in Afghanistan.
Wow.
But that's when I met some EOD technicians, explosive ordnance disposal techs. There's the military's bomb squad. And I'd really not known about this before, but I started talking to these guys. I learned about how tough the job was, technical the job was, tight-knit the community is. And it was everything that I wanted to do. And it as far as serve. And the best part about it was that we were there saving lives. We were taking hazards off the battlefield, and we were making it, the battlefield, although maybe to a minute degree, safer for the troops to do their job.
Yeah.
And of course, in Afghanistan and Iraq, the front became IEDs. That's instead of in fact, most of the time in Afghanistan, most of the injuries came from IEDs. So that's what I wanted to do. When my contract was up at the end of my my first deployment, and the Navy didn't want to let me go from cooking. It was just my rank and rate were undermanned. The next rank was overmanned, so I wasn't really going anywhere. Plus, EOD was at that time. That was 2007. Mm-hmm. At that time, it wasn't a rate or a job, an MOS specifically.
Yeah,
it was a qualification. You had to come from a certain source rate.
Yep.
So they weren't taking cooks.
Okay.
Everything is waiverable. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to tell you.
right? Isn't that how it is?
So I loved the Navy, but I wanted to be an EOD tech. So I let my contract expire. I took my service record, my paperwork, and I went over to the Army recruiter. And I said, I want to go EOD. And then he said, come on in.
Wow.
And I trained to be an EOD tech. Got stationed in Watertown, New York, Fort Drum, and soon, very quickly, sent out. We deployed to Iraq, and then about a year later, was deployed to Afghanistan. And that's when I, about 8 months into a 12-month rotation, is when I got injured and I lost my eyesight. Mm-hmm. I came home and had to learn how to be a whole different person. Be blind, a whole new world without sight. I was going to be medically retired. Mm-hmm. And it was a very scary time.
Yeah.
It was a difficult transition, but I never stopped fighting for what I thought was the best I could do.
Yeah.
In everything I did. In fact, I didn't even want to leave the military. So when they said, "Where do you want to retire?" I said, "Just send me to the EOD schoolhouse, so I can stay on and instruct."
That's awesome, man.
I did that.
That's awesome.
I did that for about a thanks. I did that for about a year and a half. And in that time, I also started running marathons, climbing mountains, whitewater kayaking, and just about everything I could do to get out of the house and stay off my butt, because it just terrified me.
Yeah.
To be, you know, trapped by my injury.
Yeah.
Become a victim. Yeah. Victim to, you know, let the you know, the insurgents win.
Yeah.
So I got outside.
I love that. And
really? I began telling my story, sharing it to with whoever would listen. And I found out that, again, it became less about me.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. Mm-hmm. I was running in a local group, and I asked them to help me train for my first marathon. And every Sunday we would go out for a marathon, Aaron's marathon training day. And every week more people would show up just to come run.
Mm-hmm.
And some people were training for a 5K, some were for a half, but we'd all run together. And it stopped being Aaron's training day and it became training day.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
That's funny how that works. It just evolves into something bigger than you are. It's really cool. I absolutely love your story. That's insane. That's incredible.
Yeah. It was going pretty well until about 2 weeks. This was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I was injured in 2011. In 2015, about 2 weeks before I was to head out and climb my first of the seven summits, Mount Kilimanjaro, I came down with bacterial meningitis. And I was sent right back to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
It almost killed me all over again. The bacteria or the heavy doses of antibiotics to keep me alive stole what was left of my hearing and took my inner ear sense of balance. I was totally blind, totally deaf, couldn't stand up on my own two feet. I was going senseless.
Wow.
But my sense of humor, sharp as ever.
Yeah, no, I've always, like, since I've been following your story and listening to all the podcasts, you always have that sense of humor. And that's one of the things that I really love about you. You know, I can't say that I know anything about how it is to be in your head when that happens. One, when you lose your sight, and then two, years later, mind you, that's what's wild to me, is that it's 4 years later and that happens to you. And I just believe that for you to keep up your mindset that you have right now throughout the duration of it. And I'm sure there were some tough times. I can't even begin to imagine, but to be who you are now and to have the attitude that you have now, the mindset that you have now, and the way that you help other people and that you share your story with the intention to help other people, to me, absolutely blows me away. And that's one of the many reasons that I wanted to have you on here. You said so many good things, and you said you didn't have really direction even before you joined, and then the military helped give you that. And I can totally understand that as well. I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life before the military. I also didn't think that I was going to join the military either until I somehow wound up in the military with the help of my father. And once I was in, I was able to start doing some of those things that you did as well. And it really helped give me that ambition and really learn more about myself. And I love that you did that. I love how you changed branches to do what you wanted. And you didn't take no for an answer. You looked in another place for the answer that you wanted. And that is very unique. And some people would give up. You never gave up, and you still haven't give up, and you will never give up.
Well, it's true. I'll never give up. There were plenty of times where I came close and definitely wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, to be, it was over 6 months where I was in complete darkness, complete silence. I was in a wheelchair. I'd had to start using my trekking poles that I was using to climb mountains just to get to my mailbox and back.
Aaron, talk. I have to interject. I mean, I can't wrap my head around that. Like, that's 6 months of solitary confinement. What do you do?
It was so isolating, so lonely.
Yeah.
And thank goodness for my family.
Yeah.
And especially my wife.
Yeah.
She you know, besides nursing me to health, and then of course taking over all of my daily responsibilities, from paying the bills to dealing with the VA and various hospitals, and that alone is, you know, she should be put in for sainthood dealing with the VA. Yeah. But
wow,
she also we developed a. She would write every letter of every word into the palm of my hand that she needed to say to me. And that was the only way that she could get a message in. It was tedious and frustrating, yeah. But that was the only way I could get a transmission.
Yeah, she is a saint. That's a lot on her part as well, yeah.
She was couldn't even call her my girlfriend at the time. She and I, our mothers grew up together as childhood friends.
Okay.
And then they went their own ways. Michaela, my wife, grew up in Denver and then eventually moved out to Sacramento. And I grew up in Akron, Ohio. And it was just, you know, one day, you know, in the summer of 2015, I was making fun of something in my life on Facebook. I think I was complaining about how I wasn't having any luck on Tinder or something. No. And she commented, some comments on Facebook turned into some messenger things, and then it turned into long phone calls. Eventually I convinced her to come visit me in Florida, where I, because I was, I grew roots here because this is where the EOD school was.
Okay.
And I convinced her to come out for a week vacation the first time. And it was a great first date, a week long first date. But she flew back to Sacramento, and it was 3 days later I was in the hospital.
Wow.
With meningitis, and she turned right back around. And she never went back. She had friends move her stuff out from her apartment. She moved in, and I, you know, there are far less elaborate ways to get a second date, but
you cracked me. You seriously haven't lost a beat. That is hilarious, but that I didn't know that part of the story, and that is incredible. It just makes my, honestly, I'm not even afraid to say it right here. It makes my heart happy. That is beautiful in its own way. And I love that. I absolutely love that you share that with me. Thank you. That's good on her. That is incredible. And yeah, she really wanted that second date.
I used to think going bomb squad, you know, going EOD was crazy. Until I met my future wife, who took a first date with a blind guy, and second date he was deaf too.
You're killing me. That's really funny. I think that just speaks to it. Like, one of the things I love talking about is helping other people, and that has just been your guys' story. Is you helping her, her helping you, and then you helping other people by sharing your story and everything that you've overcome. One of my prerequisites for people on my podcast is I love talking to people, but I love talking to people that like helping other people. And I think I love asking the question of, you know, where does your passion to help others come from? And I think it's for you, it's rooted in so much of your story and with her helping you. But if I could still ask the question, where does your passion for helping other people come from?
Well, it's extremely fulfilling. I mean, one, it makes me feel great.
Yeah.
It helps take my pain away by helping others take theirs away. That's the heart at the heart of compassion.
Yes.
And if I could just share my story, and I know that it's helping others with their struggles, that's great. But, we speak to local schools, talk to the kids, you know, especially around middle and high school, you know, it's a difficult time. And I know a lot of kids have, you know, trouble. So I like talking to them about going through difficult times in their lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, resilience. You know, I'm so proud of my wife. She started this local Facebook group that is kind of like the Facebook equivalent of, you know, those little dishes at the gas station that are, says, you know, have a penny, give a penny.
Yeah.
You
know, yes. A penny. Yeah.
But it's a buy nothing group, and everybody just finds a way of getting rid of the stuff they don't need and finding a home, you know, with people that do need that stuff.
Wow.
And, you know, with two, you know, we have 6 month old infant twins, and it's like they grow out of everything within minutes. So everything they can fit into, we give to, you know, other local families. And of course, you know, stuff comes back to us that's a little bit bigger, and it's great.
Wow.
And I love it.
It's a great idea. That's a really good idea. And I know exactly what you're talking about, because we have an 8 month old right now. And the moment we get her clothes, she's grown out of it. And I can't keep up with the speed at which she is growing. But I love everything about it. That's very, very interesting. See, and that's what I'm talking about, is you guys are so good for each other, because you're sharing your story to help other people. She, and then you guys, of course, we haven't even gotten into EOD Confections and everything that you're doing there. And I absolutely love your company, but also that she is doing it in the manner that you just described there as well. So you guys are a very strong team. From me looking in from the outside, you guys are perfect for each other. You help each other, and you both give so much, and I absolutely love it. And that's, I said there's a couple reasons why I wanted you on the podcast, but one of the reasons is because you give, and help, and you share your story with the intention of helping other people. And I know that when you do that, when you share your story and you encourage other people to help other people, that's what happens. And people also have the courage to speak up themselves and share their own stories. And it's just this domino effect that helps more and more and more people. So I'm very appreciative of you doing that. And it inspires me as well. And especially her starting up groups like that, I hope it encourages other people to do that as well, to go out there and just create things. That's why this podcast is the Christoph Lewis podcast, Create Your Career, because I am such a huge advocate of going out there and creating things for yourself and for other people. If it doesn't exist, create it.
You're absolutely right. I love to say, you don't wait for opportunity to knock. You go and kick the door off the hinges.
That sounds like an EOD guy talking, or maybe you blow the door off the hinges.
Yeah, you
breach the door.
Breaching life.
I want to go back for 1 second, and I really want to ask you, I want to talk about that those moments, those 6 months when you were confined to a wheelchair and confined to your own head. As much as you can you help us understand, like, what helped you get through the day? What helped you get through that time? Because of course now you can hear me because you have this amazing device that you explained to me before we started recording. But what, you didn't know that was going to be a thing, of course, during those 6 months. You maybe knew that was never going to be a thing. So how did you get through that?
Well, first is my sense of humor.
You've
got to be able to laugh at yourself, or, you know, you go crazy. You know, when the doctor told me that I would be deaf as well as blind, I asked him, wait, so you're saying I'm never going to have to pretend to pay attention ever again? But no, it really was a terrible, terrible time in my life.
Yeah.
I was not a pleasant person.
I
those demons tried to get in, you know, the what ifs, the why me's.
Yeah.
It was the circling over and over, just playing and repeating my head was, you know, when have I, you know, had my fair share? I mean,
yeah.
obviously somebody out there thought I needed to pay some more dues. Of course, you know, besides the incredible support of my family, my girlfriend at the time, my wife now, I did what anybody in my situation would do. Started a chocolate company.
Yeah, that was the obvious choice.
I poured myself back into my passion of cooking. Yeah. I found that I could still cook despite the disabilities, and it was actually about this time of the year, Thanksgiving was coming, and we invited a huge group. You know, we invited friends, family, some neighbors, even a few EOD students. You know how one of the schools, like A school, and they don't have enough leave days saved up.
Yeah,
they wanted to save some money on travel. So some students, some service members get stranded at the schoolhouse when the rest of the base is shut down. So we invited some students over for a huge Thanksgiving feast, and I started cooking weeks in advance.
Wow.
We were going to have two huge turkeys, one in the smoker, one in the oven, ham, a couple different types of stuffing. And I made every type of vegetable I could think of into something unhealthy. of course the desserts. I was making cakes and pies and cookies, and I started making fudge. And I would, after one batch after another, I would start throwing, different, nuts and spices. I'd take, a bottle out of the medicine cabinet, out of my bar, and I'd dump that in there. Michaela noticed something. She said she saw something on me that she hadn't seen in 6 months, and that was a smile on my face. I was doing something I enjoyed, and it was taking my mind off of what I'd lost, my pain. And I kept doing it. I kept cooking. The only problem, though, was that the fudge was piling up.
That's not a bad problem.
Well, Michaela noticed that there was far more fudge than any one family could finish in one sitting. So she was giving it, she was sneaking it out the front door. Sneaking, like you got to be real stealthy around a blind deaf guy. But she was giving it away, and people were coming back and asking if they could buy more. And I said, well, of course you may. The capitalist in me, saw an opportunity there. And before we actually knew what was going on, we started a business. And I was doing something I loved. We called it Extraordinary Delights, or EOD Fudge.
Gosh.
And it started off as therapy. And it started off as, something I could do for my family, to give them a happy holiday. Cause I love the holidays. This is my favorite time of year.
Yeah. It's just cooking up now. You're going to get busy soon.
And now I get to share this stuff with everybody.
Wow. I thank you for diving deeper into that. I kind of touched on that time in your life earlier in this episode, and I'm very glad that you dived deeper into that for us, and especially that you showed us that to me, it's really incredible to see what was created out of something else. So no pun intended, a dark time in your life, if I may interject some of my own humor, a dark time in your life. And you said yourself it was very difficult, and I imagine that would be incredibly difficult for everyone. However, a very incredible thing became of that, and you created something. And once again, you created something out of that time in your life. And now it makes me smile. And I did when you told that story, that she noticed that on your face. And that just, to me, makes me very happy to hear that. And of course, it's flourished into what it is now. And I'm very excited to purchase some of my own as the holidays come around for some friends and family, and then be able to share the story of what you just shared with me. And that's going to be even more special for me. Before we get out of here, if people want to hear more about you, if they want to hear more about EOD Confections, where is the best place to find that information?
Well, we'd love for everybody to follow us on social media, and they can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at EOD Confections. And you can, you know, read more about the story. You can inquire about public speaking events. And you can, of course, buy more of our treats at eodfudge.com.
Very cool. Aaron, like I said, thank you so much for coming on here. I love social media. I love that I saw you on somebody else's page and that I could just reach out to you and get to learn more about you, get to meet you. And I just love the world that we live in. We're able to do that and just share these stories in such a way. And it's so cool to see you utilize that and share your own story and help other people. And it truly does inspire me. I always say, we talked about selfishness a little bit in this podcast, and I always say that a lot of these questions are because I selfishly want to know the answers, and I really want to know, and I really want to be able to inspire myself and be able to capture that and then share it with other people as well. So thank you so much for sharing that. I am so appreciative of your time. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your night, Aaron. I really appreciate it, and I really look forward to trying some of my own extraordinary delights.
Well, thank you very much. Glad to be on.
All right. Thank you. See ya.